Let me preach to you for a few minutes. It's been a good service. I like it. Amen. Something I believe the Lord's pleased when we give thanks to Him and honor Him. He said to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd say that'd be a whole lot better way to start a service than with the praise bands. I know y'all don't all agree with that, but some of you have been reading something besides the Bible. Amen. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that the fruit of thy lips giving thanks to His name. Amen. I don't need a steel guitar and a bass drum to give thanks to the Lord. I need to open my mouth up. Amen. And that'll thank the Lord. Don't cost near as much either. Amen. Revamp the whole church so you can praise God. And when all you need to do is get a bunch of kids on the front row. Amen. That'll let them praise God. Amen. The Bible tells us there's some things I want you to see tonight. I want you to see a story in the Bible. In Mark chapter number 12, verse 41, I want you to see a story right there if you would turn to that. I'll read something to you from that passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. I love this passage for so many reasons. If you're ever going to just slow down and visualize something, here's one you ought to just read it and visualize it and see it. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury." Man, if you don't think God hates pride, you ought to read that verse again. Amen. The Bible says that He hates a proud look. It ain't just pride that He hates. It's a proud look that He hates. And He says that He sat over and He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And then He says, "And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples, and saith unto them," hey, fellas, look here, He said. He said, "Come here a minute." He said, "I want you to see something." He said, "You missed it, fellas." He said, "Man, you missed it." He said, "Y'all was busy talking." He said, "You didn't think anything big was going to happen when you saw that old lady come up here. When you saw that poor little old lady come up here, y'all all started talking, didn't think anything big was about to happen." He said, "Now, when that Cadillac pulled up, y'all's all interested. When that big Mercedes-Benz pulled in, now you fellas, that really, you didn't pay any attention when that little old lady walked up with them baggy, with them clothes hanging on her, but did you? You missed it. You turned her out, but look what He said. He said, "Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into all, than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." I want you to take special note of that verse. There's not a person that's saved that what does not desire the blessing of God on their life. We preachers are silly sometimes. Sometimes we'll preach and say, "How many of you like to have the blessing of God on your life?" Well, if you're saved, all of you want the blessing of God on your life. I grew up, I wanted my daddy, I didn't want him to beat me. I wanted him to love me and get me things and be good to me. Amen. Never happened. I had a miserable childhood. But I'm going to write a book about it. What did Jerry West call his? I'll call mine something like that, part two. Amen. We could all write a book. Every one of you could write a book and complain and whine. I don't want to read anybody's book about their, got my own problems. But anyway, that's another sermon. But listen, what person doesn't want God's blessings? What person here tonight doesn't want God to smile on you, on your life? What saved person here tonight doesn't want God to honor you? When I was a little boy, of course, you all know my name is Travis. If you didn't know that already, it's nice to meet you. I'm Travis. But every once in a while, people call me Trav. And I always liked that, you know, when I was a little boy. Now just don't call me late for dinner. You can just call. But they'd say that. And my dad, every once in a while, would call me. He'd say, "Hey, buddy." Well, that really meant something. Yeah. "How you doing, buddy?" I like that, even when my dad called me buddy. Right. And I felt like maybe somehow or another I'd got a little sentiment, you know, a little favor. And if my mom went a day and didn't smite me in the side of the head, I felt like I was in her good favor. But when it comes to the Lord, every child of God, when you're saved, you want to please God. You want God and you say, "Well, what do you mean smile on your life?" Well, the Bible talks about David, his countenance. You study that, and you'll see David said, "I want to see his face. I want the Lord to see my life and be pleased with my life." Every child of God's that way. Any child of God. Now, we don't all live that way. Hey, you can say what you want to say. But a Christian, a child of God, that gets up on Sunday morning and for no good reason just decides they'll skip church, not because of health, not because of a job, not because of a providential hindrance. I'm not talking about that. Just because they say, "Man, what a beautiful day. Whoa, I hate to waste a day like this sitting over there in the church house." Don't tell me that attitude cries, "God, bless my life." You say, "Well, I'll just meet God in the woods." Yeah, but God said, be it there. He said, you know what I mean? Hey, the Christian that says, "Yeah, I want God to bless my life. I want God to be pleased with my life, but you know, I really don't have time for soul winning. I don't have time for passing out tracts. I don't want to do that." That's somebody else can do that. You know, I read my Bible and I find out that it pleases the Lord to witness for Him. You say, "Preacher, I'm not much of a Christian." I'm going to tell you what. It don't take any great spiritual giant to hand a tract to somebody, but I'm going to tell you what, it pleases God. Sure does. So all I did was lay it down. Hey, listen, if God leads your heart to do that, you ought to do it. Amen. It pleases the Lord. Right. And listen, hey, we ought to want to please the Lord. Amen. As Christians, I believe the natural thing. I believe you got to come to a crossroads in your life where you lose sight of perspective to live your life in such a way that you don't want to honor the Lord and please the Lord. And this lady here, she did what she did not for the praise of men, but she did what she did because she had a love for God. She had a desire to honor God. She wasn't ashamed. She didn't say, I won't go. My two cents, that don't mean anything. I don't have it." She didn't care about those other people. She did what she did for the Lord's sake. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." It says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." If you're going to do it now. There are folks live their whole life, and someday they're going to do it. Someday, I'm going to serve God. And you know what? Someday never comes. Someday won't come. Where people say, "If I could ever just get in a good shape financially, I'd really be a blessing over at the church." You don't think God knows that what trick you're up to? That lady didn't say, "Boy, if I had a bunch to give, I'd give it." Man, God knows if God would bless me, and I'd give God a little bit of it and help out over at the church. She didn't have that attitude. She said, "I got two pennies, two mites. I'm giving it all. Let God do what He wants to do with it. That's all I got. I'm just going to give it all to Him." You say, "Well, boy, I tell you what, if I gave everything..." Yeah, if you gave everything, the devil would be awful upset. Probably some of us ought to just do that to get the devil. You know, if you gave God everything, I guarantee you the devil would have a whole lot less to work with. Amen? I mean, the devil torments us and bothers us and aggravates us, and we're discouraged and trying to figure out, just, hey, man, what if we just gave God everything? Say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Can you pray so I can leave the service right now? I'm just talking about the fact that you think someday I'm going to contribute. The Bible says, let there be first a willing mind. It's accepted according to what a man hath, not what he hath not. That's right. Amen? You want to please God? You want to honor God? I'm going to tell you, listen, this lady honored the Lord. There's a story in the Bible about a lady that came in and with an alabaster box and broke that box and the ointment in it, she anointed Jesus' feet. And Judas said, oh, that money should have been given to the poor. And Jesus said, you have the poor with you always. He said, but me you have not always. You see, that lady, she wasn't doing it for Judas, and she wasn't doing it for alms. She was just did what she did because God put it on her heart. You say, well, where did she get the money to buy that alabaster box? Now, some of you don't want to ask that question because you wouldn't have took her money. Because you wouldn't like to know how she got it. Now, you throw that out to an old Pharisee and see what he says about it. Amen? You check that story out. You do your homework later on, and you'll find out. And you say, Jesus accepted that? Yeah, he accepted it. Like it or lump it, he accepted it. I'm going to tell you, listen, hey, and Jesus said about that, he said, she hath done what she could. He said, it'll be a memorial for her. Wherever this gospel is spoken, he said, her name will be remembered and be spoken of. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
See, what is it that honors the Lord? Is it great talent, great ability, great riches? No. It's from your heart when you give God all you can give Him. I mean, listen, no one knows but you and God if you give God your all. You see, that's all God asks of us, that we give our all. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. He says, you're going to the grave. And he said, there's no use holding back. He said, you may as well just give God your all. Give Him your life. You know where your mind, you know where your brain, you know where your thoughts, your intellect comes from? It comes from God. Everything that will ever pass through the folds of that billfold, you know where it all comes from? Every bit of it comes from God. Every bit of it comes from God. Everything that I have tonight comes from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every breath that I breathe comes from God. You know, when I die, my dad used to say, Mom used to say, oh, it's so-and-so died. One time, the old preacher over there at church called. This is my pick on Mom. I hope she can hear me. The old preacher called and Mom said, where are you going today? And he said, I'm going to preach so-and-so's funeral. Mom said, oh, did he die? And the preacher said, no, but he wanted to go ahead and have his funeral. Someone would die, and Mom would say, well, what happened to him? And Dad would say, the breath leaked out of him. And brother, listen, hey, when you draw your last breath, you rest assured God has said, that's it. Every heartbeat you have comes from God. Every breath comes from God. Every dollar that's ever passed through your billfold comes from God. Every blessing you've ever had, it all comes from God. So why in the world shouldn't we all have the attitude, you know what, I'm just going to give God everything I have. I'm just going to give God my all. You know, I can't help it. Occasionally I'll watch sports. I'm kind of weaned off of a certain team right now. There's not a lot of use watching that one team. I won't mention their name or anything, but God's kind of helped me with that. But anyway, I watch it. You know, it's one thing to lose, but it's one thing. It's a whole different thing just to give up, not even try to win. That's something that tears me up. Amen. I like to see effort. Man, I like to see somebody grunting and sweating and trying and pushing and give everything you got. When it's over, then you can sit down and rest. And you know, as Christians, as a preacher, I'm not as old maybe as some people, but I want to give all I got. Amen? And by the way, I enjoy when Brother Mullins gets up to preach. He gives everything he's got. Amen? And brother, listen, if he's got a 3-hour sermon, he's going to give you an anesthesia. Hey, brother, he gives everything he's got. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Listen, I hear these preachers, as long as they get older, and they say, well, you know, I've calmed down, and I used to yell, and I used to get loud, and I was more animated, but I, you know, I've calmed down a little bit. I wish you'd get back to what you used to be. Amen. Listen, I have no problem at all with seeing a man of God stand up in the pulpit. I like to see the veins bulge a little bit. You say, I like that teaching type. I'm teaching. Amen. I'm teaching you to stand up. And the Bible said, lift up your voice and cry aloud and spare not. But listen, if there's anything this country needs tonight, it needs some people of God that say, I'm headed for the grave. I may as well give my all to God and give everything I've got to Him. Lift up my voice and shout aloud, Hosanna. Cry aloud, spare not. And let people know who God is. Yeah. Brother, listen, we ought to give our all to God. And people say, you'll burn out, you'll burn out. I like what one old preacher, Brother Jeff Fugit, said down in Kentucky. His daddy died just a few days short of 40 years of age, died, had a brain tumor. And they told that one preacher, I told Jeff, Brother Fugit, when he was a young man, he said, son, you need to slow down. He said, one of them missionaries to the mountains that had run 20 people for the last 30 years. And he said, you need to slow down. He said, you're going to burn out. And he said, he heard that so many times. And one of them finally said, you need to slow down. You're going to burn out like your dad did, and kind of rubbed him the wrong way. And he said, buddy, he said, I'd rather burn out than I would rust out. Brother, listen, hey, I'd rather see somebody burn out for God, amen? I like the story. I won't take time to find it, but over there in the back of the Old Testament, there's a story in there about a fellow that was about dead. It wasn't Gaius, but Gaius wasn't in very good shape either, amen? If my name was Gaius, I'd work hard for God too, amen? But listen, that fellow, he's in bad shape and well nigh to death, and he just kept pushing on and just kept on pushing. Old Paul talked about being shipwrecked, being beaten, being hungered. He said, but none of these things move me. He said, I count my life but lost. He said, I count all things but dung that I might win Christ. Amen. Just keep pressing on. Hey, someday you'll draw your last breath. And someday God will say, come home. And someday Jesus Christ will meet you there, and then heaven's gates will open wide, and we'll enter in. He said, enter in now, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Amen. Hey, there's a rest that remaineth for the people of God. But until then, just keep on. So, preacher, I hurt. You're going to hurt worse if you live long enough. You're going to be discouraged. But the old devil would like for us to sit down and sit and sulk and get pity party and all that stuff. But just keep pressing on for God. Amen. That's easier said than done. I know it is. Amen. I know that. But just keep on. Amen. Just keep on. The average preacher stays at a church for about 18 months. They say, after so long, they say, well, the people don't want to. I'll go somewhere else and find some different people that want to do something for God. You know what? The very same people's going to be at the next place. They just got different names. Amen. I tell you what, to build a church, the Bible said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Friend, hey, you just get somewhere and just stay until God says you got to go, and just keep on preaching and just keep on laboring and keep on standing in the pulpit and give your all for the work of Jesus Christ. But listen, hey, if there's anything we need preachers, and we need the people of God. Just decide, I'm going to give my all to God. I'm just going to keep on. Right. I look over here, I'm not promoting or pointing out, or I'm not praising Sister Echo, but I am. I'm just going to say one thing she said. A little while back, she was coming over on Sunday night playing for us because it was convenient. It was easy. The church there didn't have service. She'd go down on Sunday morning, play their Sunday school down there, and she was on her way home, and she got to looking at what time it was. It was a few minutes till 11 o'clock, and she said, well, you know, she said, I could go ahead and go on over there to Providence and play there too. Amen. And brother, listen, hey, instead of going home, she went ahead and come on over here, been coming on over ever since. Amen. Brother, listen, hey, I could point out a lot of people in this church that are that way. I'm not pointing out people. Hey, God knows everything about it. Say, preacher, I do a lot of stuff. Nobody ever sees it. Well, good for you, because you've got a good audience. Amen. Listen, hey, you don't have a bunch of gawkers out there. You've got God. God sees everything you do. Amen. There's not a thing you or I ever have done or ever will do. Hey, don't do it for the praise of men, but there's a God in heaven that sees it, and God is pleased and honored by a child of God that says, I'm going to give everything to God. I'm going to give all. You guys play ride bicycles. I watch y'all down here. You got a bicycles game? You got a bicycle. Just stay off them four-wheelers. Amen. They'll break your arms. right? Now listen, hey, we lived on a little dirt road there on Trace Creek Road, where Mom still lived down there. And up at there was two hills on that road. One's called Johnson Hill, and that's where the Johnsons lived there. And on up the road was called Hernshaw's Hill. And guess what? That's because the Hernshaws lived at the bottom of that hill. And boy, listen, we'd ride our bikes up through there by the Mullins, and man, I tell you what, getting up Johnson's Hill, that was bad. I mean, you'd have to just grunt. I mean, we had them old 20-inch bicycles. There wasn't no speeds on them anyway. It was go speed. And when you get up there, man, you'd try and try. I'll never forget the day I made it all the way up that hill. Man, I felt like king of the mountain. Well, I felt like somebody. I had done it. And guess what? Just as soon as I'd done it, I started thinking about Hernshaw's Hill. And I said, man, could I ever make it up that hill? And I did, and I'll tell you why I did, because at the very top of the road was a store called Bob Smith's Store. Oh, man. They had ice cream there in a machine, and they'd give you cones that tall. And brother, listen, hey, you'd ride a bike up two hills to get one of those cones, too, if you had good sense. Amen? And man, them were good cones. We'd eat them. You talk about an ice cream headache on the way home, amen, on the way back down. But it was good. But you had to give every bit of effort you got. You couldn't leave anything behind. If you were going to get that bike up Johnson's Hill or up Hernshaw's Hill, you were going to have to give everything you had to get up there. I wish to goodness there were some Christian people today that just say, you know what? I'm just going to give everything to God. I'm going to die anyway. May as well just give all to God and give your energy to God and your strength to God and just give it all to Him. I like this lady. Hey, listen, God recorded twice in the Gospels the story of how this lady gave all. Listen, she gave her all to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know why she did it. It doesn't matter why. I don't know. I don't know what moved her to do it. It doesn't matter. You say, well, preacher, what were her motives? Don't matter. I don't know what her motives were. Don't matter. Apparently they were good because God was honored by what she did. Brother, listen, he was there. I don't think she knew. She didn't know that Jesus was sitting there, but he was. And I'm going to tell you what, he sees the effort we give. And I'm ashamed I don't always give the effort I ought to give. I know that I don't, but I want to. And I haven't given up yet, amen. I'm just going to keep on. And I don't ever want to reach to a point and say, that's good enough. I've done enough. I'll just even off right here. That's good enough. And I'll just keep on. Listen, God willing, I just want to keep pressing on for Him the day I die. That's the way every one of us ought to want to do, amen. Just keep on. Just keep on. I'm going to tell you this. Why some should give all. Number one, this is the Veterans Day. If there ever is a right time to preach about giving all, it's Veterans Day. But listen, we have a free country tonight. What freedom we have. Listen, don't get goofy on me. I'm just preaching, amen. I'm just talking up here. I ain't going deep into anything tonight. But I'm going to tell you what. Listen, just on the surface, let me just be a dummy just for a minute and just say to you, brother, listen, there's a whole lot of people. I don't care why. West Virginia, per capita, is more soldiers from this state right here than any other state in the Union from West Virginia. The Scots-Irish people settled here, and they come here, and they valued the freedom that they had that they left behind over there in Scotland and Ireland. They valued the country, and when war came, they were willing to fight. Brother Anderson talked about it this morning, and his brother and others of you were willing to sign up. Friend, listen, hey, that was the old days. It ain't that way anymore. We don't have that same spirit anymore. But I'm going to tell you what, that spirit, listen, those were willing to give all. They were willing to die, willing to give everything they got. But listen, I'm glad Jesus Christ gave all on Calvary. Amen. Amen. Number one, because they realized that Jesus gave all to give them a home in heaven. A little while ago, some of you guys mentioned you're thankful for your home. I'm thankful for my home. Well, listen, I'm thankful that I got a home to go to. But listen to me. 10,000 times 10,000 more, I'm thankful that tonight as I stand right here, I know that I've got a home in heaven. Hey, listen, I've got loved ones that have gone on home to heaven. It's no incident, listen, it's no question that we know our peculiarity that we refer to heaven as home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. In Psalm 119, David's speaking of this world. He's talked about the house of my pilgrimage. Friend, listen, and we're pilgrims down here. Our home is up there. Brother, listen, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Friend, listen, hey, and there's a place up there for me. There's a mansion mansion up there. You say, that's not a literal mansion, and not everybody's going to get one. Well, you can believe whatever you want to. I hope God does give you something else. Amen. But listen, hey, he's got a mansion for me. He's got a place for me. Amen. Right, and if you got something else that calls it a place, I don't know what I'd get me one. I'd get me one of them ones that says mansion. Amen. That sounds a lot better than that dwelling place. We got an old turtle that we found on the side of the road. He's got a dwelling place, a bunch of old grass thrown on top of him. Amen. I don't want that. But listen, God's got a place for me in heaven. Brother, listen, hey, you know why? Because Jesus Christ left heaven, and God incarnate in the flesh, born of a virgin's womb, and listen, lived a perfect sinless life, and they took him, and they tried him, and they condemned him to be crucified, and listen, and they marched him up Calvary's mountain with a cross upon his shoulders and a crown of thorns upon his head, and they laid him down on that cross, they drove those spikes in his hands, and they dropped that old cross down into the ground, and Jesus hung beneath the weight of that cross, friend, listen, and he bled and died on that cross, he gave up the ghost there, hanging there. Jesus Christ died so that I could have a home in heaven. He gave everything so that I could have a place with Him someday. Amen. But listen, hey, if there's no other reason why we ought to give all, that right there is a very good one. Amen. Amen. But listen, we ought to realize that He gave all so that we could have a home in heaven. Number two, why some should give all, because the Bible teaches that all we have is not our own, but all is His. I tell you what, I'm glad for the day I was reading my Bible, and God led me to a passage, to a chapter in the Bible. You don't have to turn to it right now, but 1 Chronicles 29, wonderful chapter. David there is the speaker, and he writes here in chapter 29, verse 10, speaking about the temple. He said, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Verse 11, he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." You say, well, isn't he just kind of, making a little much? I don't think you can make too much about God. Amen. I like it. I like it. Brother, listen, I like it. Brother, listen, hey, you can go ahead and praise Barack, or you can praise Bush, or praise anybody you want to, friend. I don't got a whole lot of praise for the infidels of this world, but I'll tell you what, you let anybody stand up and praise my Savior Jesus Christ and glorify Him, friend. Listen, hey, He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the honor. Amen. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Friend, listen, anybody else, they can put any titles, anybody else they want to. But brother, listen, the ultimate title belongs to Jesus Christ. He said in verse 12, he said, "Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And then he said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" He said, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." You say, well, I gave the Lord a big offering. It was the Lord's to begin with, friend. We don't have anything to give the Lord except what the Lord gives us. Amen. Everything you have, the Lord gives it to you. But listen, say that again. We don't have anything to give the Lord save what the Lord gives us. And friend, listen, everything we have, God gives it to us. And God gives it to us so that we might give it back to Him, and so that He might give us more to allow us to keep on giving to Him. Amen. 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 See, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you need to read your Bible. Amen. Verse 15 says, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Boy, David could have said, now looky here, folks. He said, look what all I've done. He said, I've amassed this great wealth. And I was, I had that money management course. What's that guy on there? That debt for, I listened to that. And I had read Larry Burkett. I read his books and I got all this. And I was thrifty and boy, I saved and I got it all built up here. And here I am. Look at all I've done. And boy, I'm glad I was watching. No, he said, everything's God's. It's all his. Hey, God's the one that gives it. God's the one that gives the increase. Amen. And brother, listen. And whatever God gives it that we might give it back to Him. Why some ought to give all? Because the Bible teaches that all we have is not our own, but all is His. Someone once said, you can never outgive God, and never has been a truer statement uttered from the words of man's mouth. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Why some should give all? Because sending our wealth and our being, our strength ahead is better than leaving it behind. See, preacher, I'm going to take it with you. And I don't think there's anybody here that has it. Y'all know better than that. You ain't going to take it with you. But I wonder why you want to leave it behind. I really do. You say, oh, I want to leave my kids an inheritance. Are they saved? Are they living for God? Because if they're not, you're just hurting them. You're not helping them. Not helping them one bit. Friend, listen, hey, you're not making life any better for them. Just going to give them something more to fight over. You wouldn't believe the families I've seen divided and the fights I've seen over it. I never have seen anybody get a big inheritance and go out and live for God anymore. They just get further and further and wasted. I'm just going to tell you, not because I'm preaching, not because I'm the pastor up here, but I'm going to tell you what. Whatever I have, and the Bible says houses and riches are inheritance of fathers. If I got anything to leave my kids, whatever. But I want to give whatever I'm going to give. I want to give it while I'm alive. You see, I'm not interested in leaving behind anything. Man, listen. I want to. Hey, and when it comes to the work of God, say, boy, when I die, I'm going to leave a whole bunch behind. Why? Why wait till you die? If you got something to give, give it. Amen. Give it. Say, oh, preacher, you're getting in my billfold. I know I'm trying to talk to your heart, amen. Why in the world do we want to leave amass wealth just for the Antichrist to have it, amen? Why in the world do we want to leave behind something? I like my old buddy, Brother Nelson, did. I think about him when he died. They had enough to bury him. I laughed with him. He was in heaven, and me and him were laughing together. They was trying to figure out how to get his money out of his safe deposit box and stuff down there. And they said, well, does he have any insurance policies today? He didn't. Listen, he had enough. But it wasn't easy for him. They had to figure it out. See, what was he doing? Then he lived his life and took care of his bills and survived and figured out a way and got through this life. And listen, if he had something to give, he'd give it while he's alive. I mean, listen, there's a man he wanted to give to the work of God. And I'm not praising him. I'm just saying he'd tell me oftentimes. He said, listen, he said, I don't need that. He said, I don't need anything. He said, God's given me enough. He said, I got enough money to live till I die. He said, if I die tomorrow. But he wasn't interested in leaving behind anything. He just wanted to give everything he had for the work of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what, listen, why some should give all? Because it's better to leave it behind, and it's better to give it and send it on ahead. Amen. I want my energy. I don't want to die, you know, with my mind bad and my body good. I just assume both wear out at the same time. Amen. I like to see my body, my brain, and it's pretty close. So I like seeing both wear out at the same time. Just give your energy to God. Just give it all. Push, press. You say, preacher, that hurts. Just keep on. Amen. Right. Just keep on. Number four, why some should give all? Because someone will never hear the gospel unless a great sacrifice is made. And I believe that with all of my heart. Someone will never hear the gospel unless a great sacrifice is made. You ever think about when these missionaries come through? You ever think about that fella that was here a couple weeks ago talking about going over there to where in the world, I don't even remember where it was he was going. I just, Thailand. He said so much, I liked everything he said, but I forgot where he was going. Thailand. I don't think he cared. He might, it's hard to well he end up at. I know a preacher that was going out west and he ran out of gas on the way there. He ran out of money, and he said, God, I was going to go there and start a church, and he ran out of gas in Washington somewhere. And he said, well, I'll just stay here and build a church. The time he died, there was over 1,500 people coming to his church. He just stopped where he was and did what God did what he's going to do, and God blessed it. That's a true story. He lived in the pastor of that church for 40 years. But listen, there's somebody that won't hear. I want to just be real frank, real honest with you. I know churches out through these valleys. Brother Mullins, you've preached in some of these churches. And I know churches sitting on the side of hills that are well nigh dead. Some of them got money. Some of them got $17,000, $18,000 in the bank, and the church treasury is so tight they won't buy a bus. And they won't run a bus, and some deacon sits over there, some crusty old deacon. Say, we need some deacons. Oh, that'd be great if we had some, but we better have some good ones because I'll pray for you to go the way of the West. Amen. Listen, if you get in the way of the work of God, we don't need people in the way of the work of God. And listen, churches will sit and fold up and die rather than give to the work of God. I heard a statement once from a preacher that blew my mind. Dr. Harold Seitler said this, and it's convicting. He said a church is not right with God that has a big bank account. He said everything you got, you ought to give it for the glory of God. Use it. He said God didn't intend for a church to have a bunch of money laid up. He said those people give that money so you use it for the work of God. If there's one desire I have, I want to see what's in this church, invest in this church. I want it to be used for the work of God. I pray, God, what else can we do? What should we do? We got limited room. We got limited people. But listen, hey, I want to do what if God puts before us an open door, I want to go through it. Amen? He said, well, how can we afford it? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills beneath the cattle. Listen, God has a way. God knows what to do. Friend, listen. Hey, and that ought to be our attitude. That ought to be our attitude all the time. I don't believe in just wasting anything. It's amazing how God's blessed this church and how God's provided for us and how God's taken care of us. And I believe He always will. Amen. I believe He'll take care. Friend, listen. Hey, I'd hate to think that what I could have done something to benefit the work of God, but yet I was too uptight and too afraid to reach down deep and contribute when I could have made a difference for the work of God. One soul is worth it all. As a little country church up in the mountains had a 2-week revival, and the preacher, the evangelist, they gave him a nice love offering, and some of the people didn't like it. And the one fella, he was so frustrated, he said, why in the world? He said, why in the world? And by the way, don't ever feel bad about giving a nice love offering to the preacher when they preach and do it in a meeting, like, or a missionary or something like that. Amen? I don't get a lot of amens there, but I'll amen it. Amen. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of honor. Amen. When he treadeth out the corn, if he does right. And they said, well, it wasn't but one soul saved, not just a little old girl. And a fellow in the church, he stood up and he said, I have to say, the fellas, he said, next time, if that's what it is, he said, you let me know. He said, I'll contribute the whole offering. Based on that statement, he said, because that one soul was my little granddaughter. And he said, I can't tell you it's worth every bit of it. He said, we'll double it next time if I do it myself. But listen, you can't put a value on souls. You can't put a price on souls. Now, God keeps coming to my mind, and I don't ever make a personal, because it ruins a sermon. Now, I don't like to do it. I don't like to make any kind of personal illustration, but just for the sake of doing it, I will. And God will speak to your heart. I remember in Bible college, we had a teacher who passed away now, but he had been in the Philippines and had a missions conference in the Philippines. And in that meeting, he mentioned that the Filipino pastors, some of them traveled for 2 or 3 days on foot to the meeting, and they brought their Bibles, some of them in plastic bags. The Bibles were falling apart. Me and Jessica were not married at the time, we were set to be married soon. We were saving money and getting money ready and stuff to get married, and we were sitting down there together. And he said in the meeting, he said I told those men that next year when I come back, he said, I'm gonna, if the Lord allows me, he said, I'm gonna bring Bibles for every preacher, every pastor that comes to the meeting. He said, I'm gonna bring you a nice nice Bible to every one of you, King James Bible. And he said, after I made the statement, he said, I wondered, how in the world am I going to do that? He said, I hadn't thought about how I was going to do it. He said, I just told the men that. And as I sat there, he wasn't asking for any money. He wasn't raising a campaign. But instantly, the Lord laid on my heart, and I told Jessica, I said, I think we ought to write a check here for $200. I had to write the check because I wanted to be a part of the thing. We weren't married yet, but I wanted to be a part of it. Listen, we wrote the check, handed it to him. And you know what? Listen, hey, and I don't like to tell you that because it don't matter. You know what I mean? That don't matter. I mean, that's nothing. It's nothing. I don't know what happened. I didn't even ask him if he got the Bibles or not. I trusted him. I took his word at it. If he didn't, God will take care of it. But listen, God put that on my heart. Now, there's a whole lot of other things. I try to forget stuff like that, but that one thing comes to my mind. I'm going to tell you what, when God lays something on your heart, you ought to do it. Amen. Listen, if it's of God, don't worry. God will take care of you. You trust God. You listen to God. Amen. Amen. God will provide for you. I shouldn't tell this, but I remember a long time ago, Brother Eric told me he's just sitting in church and he's going to write your tithe out. And he's trying to figure out if he should give the whole $10,000 on that week's earnings or not or whatever. And so he's going to write the check. And said the devil just kept on about, you can't do it, you shouldn't do it, you can't afford it. And he said, just told him, he said, well, devil, he said, I'll just write it. He said, I'll just write a check out for every bit of it. If you don't get off of me, just leave me alone. I'm going to tell you what, listen. Hey, we give the devil too much room to work with. You know what? You know why people get in trouble? Listen, and be better off just go ahead and give God everything. These preachers get in trouble. You know, they lose their ministry, get in trouble, fornicate. You know what? There's something wrong. They got too much energy somewhere. Amen. They ought to be working a little harder in the work of God and taking a little loving their family a little bit more and being busy for God and raising their boys and raising their daughters. They wouldn't have time to goof around like that and do stuff like that. It's not giving enough. You give your all to God. I get tired, but I'm glad to be tired. Amen. I feel good about a day when I can't move another muscle. I feel like it's been a good day. Amen. Brother, listen. And the older I get, the more I like sitting down. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. You give your all to God. You give your all to God. You say, why? Because someone will never hear the gospel unless a great sacrifice is made. You say, well, God will get somebody else. Well, you check your Bible out, and you'll find out that you can limit the Holy One of Israel. There may be something, someone that God wants to use you. And I believe we limit God. I believe we limit God. Number five and last. Because all that I could ever give would never be a match to all that He's given me. Let me read a verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9 says, as it is written, let's see, verse 9 says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that good that Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, was willing to leave heaven and give up everything for us? Let me read you some verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's not just talking about your billfold and finances. It's your substance. It's your life. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 4, the people of God were supposed to be building the temple of God, and they dried up on God. They quit giving to the work of God. And God sent Haggai and Zechariah to preach, and I'm going to tell you where they come. They come preaching to their billfold. And they said to him, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? He said, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, ye, listen to this. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Somehow we think we're going to cheat God. We're going to get around God. Say, preacher, that's Old Testament. I know it is, and breathing is Old Testament too. Amen? I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about our service for God. We ought to give our all. It's easy to say, well, I've done enough. I've given enough. You'll never give enough. Amen? I don't like this verse very much, but that one verse says that even when you're given everything, you're still unworthy servants. That ain't my favorite verse. I try not to read it. I skip that one, go around it when I see it. You've done all that you could do. Now, isn't that something? That's right. You know what God wants? He wants you to give all, do all. Just keep on. There's no getting off place. There's a going up place. Amen. Just keep on. Just keep on. Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Now listen to this whole passage. Listen, I'm not going to stop with that phrase. I want you to listen to the rest of it. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now listen, verse 9 says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, either that's Bible or it's not, amen? Now, it goes on. That's not the end of it. Listen, God compounds the blessings. I mean, you say, preacher, I can't give God. Hey, God, I mean, God is pressed down, overrunning. I mean, God can give more than what you or I could ever give. Amen. Right. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, I like that. Amen. I tell you what. You say, preacher, why you preach that? Because I ain't heard anybody else preach it for a while, and I need to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to hear it. I learned a long time ago, if you're going to the best preaching you ever do, you preach to yourself and preach yourself into a corner, you're a lot better off. You see, we want to give our all. The only hope for these boys and girls down here is for somebody to give their all. I mean, listen, it's not easy. It's not easy running that one van out there. Man, that thing lives on gasoline. I mean, brother, listen, $40, it takes $40 to get here in that old van. But I'm going to tell you what, it's worth it. You won't ever hear me complain about it. It's worth it. Hey, it's worth it, amen. Hey, at Sunday school, it's worth it, amen. It's worth it. Hey, listen, it's worth it during Bible school. It's worth it. Why? Hey, it's worth it. Amen. You hear what I said? It's worth it. Why? Listen. Hey, it's worth it to keep on and give everything we got. Man, sometimes, and some of y'all's a little bit, y'all been down the road a little further than me, and by Friday night of Bible school, man, you're feeling good. Amen. Thank God it's over. It's worth it. You might say, well, I've done all I can do. I think I'm more retired, hang it up. Won't you let God decide that? Amen. Won't you keep pressing on for God? Just keep on. Just keep on. There's no getting off place. There's a going up place. Just keep on. Say, well, nobody notices. Hey, nothing you've ever done. It's a good day when nobody else notices. Just let God be the one that watches. Amen. Amen. You let Him do all the applauding. You'll feel a whole lot better about it. Hey, only what matters is what you give your all to God. Give all. God laid on my heart to preach that message to you tonight and encourage you to give all. That says a whole lot when you drag out here on Sunday evening. But I'm going to tell you what, the attitude of a Christian, it ought to be, I want to give my all to God. I want to give all and keep pressing on. Just keep on. I'll tell you this. This is, again, nothing to do with the sermon necessarily, but I don't know what it's really like to get in the car with my family and drive to church. I don't know what that's like. I have known that feeling for a long time. But I'm going to tell you what, listen. A lot of times, so that phone will ring and say, hey, can you pick us up? And Haley, I'm glad you, when you call and say, hey, can you pick me up? I'm glad to hear that, amen. It'd be a lot easier just jump in the car and run straight to church. But I'll tell you what, if I'm 99 years old and the phone rings at 6 o'clock and one of these guys represented here called and said, would you pick me up? And I'll say, yeah, if I can, I will be there. Listen, I hope I die bringing people to the Lord's house. Why? Because I think we ought to want to give our all to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day, a resting day, amen? And you'll never regret what you give for the Lord's sake. Give your all. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight, dear God. Lord, there's folks a whole lot better fit and suited to preach that than what I am, dear God. And I just say I'm not really preaching it to these folks. I'm preaching it to myself, Lord, just a challenge to myself. And Lord, anybody else wants to receive it can. But God, I pray, Father, you'd help us to have that attitude tonight. Lord, I see so many give up and quit because they feel like they've given enough. Lord, when the truth is we ought to give all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us tonight, dear God, leave with that thought in our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand? The altar's open. God spoke to your heart tonight about your service to Him. Is your heart surrendered? Is your all on the altar? If it's not, won't you give it all to Him? Put your heart on the altar. Give your all to Him. Give your life to Him. I surrender all. If you need to come, you come tonight.